Hey, today's daf is Nida Daf Nun Aleph. Today's shir is sponsored by Morris Javaheri in honor of the yard site of Avraham Ben Nissan. Also want to wish Morris Javaheri a Mazel Tov on the birth of his grandson, Moshe Tzvi. And today's daf is also sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. We're holding on Daf Nun Amud Beis. We are about to expand upon or explain the brisa that we quoted at the end of the shir yesterday. So we're going to discuss the brisa that talks about the case of an oaf that falls into a vat of wine and what the and then the ensuing discussion that follows as far as Tumah and Tahara are concerned. Then the Gemara is going to move on to a discussion of Machsheves Chibur, whether a person having Machshava, that something should be considered a food while it's still Mechubar Lakarka, has any impact on its Chiyah for Maestros, has any impact on its Tumah V'Tahara status. And then the Gemara in the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to bring two Rayos that in all of these Mishnayos, where we say you can't have one without the other, but you can have the other without the one, all of these Mishnayos are talking about a min in general, but not specific cases. Meaning when we say you can't have one without the other, very often you can in very specific cases. But any min that's chayiv in A is also chayiv in B. So we're going to bring a couple of rayas that we have to be talking about the min in general. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about whether tavlin, like dill, something that's only meant to give flavor, but is not meant to be eaten, is subject to tumas ochlin. Or do we say, no, it's not a food, it's a flavoring. Then we're going to have a more mishnah in this series. So we're going to have a Mishnah that compares the Chiyuv of Reshus HaGeiz to the Chiyuv of Zor L'Chayayim V'Keva, that compares the mitzvah of Biur to the mitzvah of Shviyas, to the Kedusha Shviyas. We're going to have another Mishnah that compares Snapir and Kaskeses, the two Simanim, Simani Kashrus of a fish, and Kranayim V'Talpayim, split hooves and horns, and how they relate to each other. And we're going to have a Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud that compares bracha rishona to bracha achrona, that you can't have something that has a bracha achrona that doesn't have a bracha rishona, but there are things that have a bracha rishona that doesn't have a bracha achrona. So it gets labedik as we continue to find different cases throughout Shas where we have this pattern of comparison. But let's backtrack just a step in order, even though this brings us pretty far back, to Tan Rabbanan, about halfway down the page on Nun Amud Beis, to start that conversation again. So let's chazer over that brisa. So Tan Rabbanan, you have a gozel shnafal agas, you have a small bird, kosher bird, that falls into the pool of wine from a wine press. V'chashav lav la'alos alukuti, and you have a machshava that you're going to take it out in order to feed it to a kuti. So tame, now it's subject to tumas ochlim because you thought about using it as a food for people. But lekelev tar, but if you thought about using it as achilas kelev, then it's going to be tar because it's not only the achilas adam, so it's not subject to tumas ochlim unless it's meant as human food. Rabbi Yochanan Uri Omer, that it's even subject to tumas ochlin if you have in mind that you want to feed it to a dog, not because machshava for achilas kelev actually makes it an ochel, but Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri holds that an avelus of tar does not require machshava l'achilas adam. It's tame even without machshava. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri kal v'chomer. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri says I could learn that an avelus of tar does not require machshava for achilas adam from the following kal v'chomer imitame tum. Chamura, if an avelus of tar is mitame, someone who eats it with a tumah chamura, that the person and the clothing that he's wearing at the time that the oaf is in his beis abliya becomes tame shelo b'machshava, even though he was eating it without machshava that it should be for the sake of achilas adam, he didn't even know that it was an avela when he was eating it, lo yitame tumah kala shelo b'machshava, should it not be mitame at least tumah sochlin when you don't have machshava to use it for achila? So Amalod, the Chum said back to Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri, lo, and Marta b'tuma chamura shekein eni yaredes l'kach. By tuma chamura, where we say that it has a din of nevelos of tahar, even without machshava, that's because any time you have a din of tuma chamura, the item does not require hechsher lekabel tuma. So therefore, the tuma has nothing to do with the person's machshava because it's an automatic tuma. So tumah b'tuma kala, would you then say the same thing by regular tuma ochlin shekein yaredes l'kach, where it requires hechsher lekabel tuma? So clearly, a person's input, because hechsher lekabel tuma only works when it's nichalei, it only works when you're happy about it getting wet. So clearly, a person's input is important when it comes to that which requires hechsher lekabel tuma. and therefore machshava to use it for achila is important when it comes to tumas ochlin. So Rabbi Yochanan said back to the chachamim, I'll prove that I'm right, because tarnagolas shabi yavna tochiach. There was a maisa in Yavna of the tarnagolas that became a nevela, and the discussion was about tumas ochlin mashkim sheyer redas lekach that bederech klal requires hechsher v'timuah shalom b'machshava, and nevertheless there were metameyit without machshava. So you see, even though it requires hechsher, it does not require machshava to use it for ochlin in order to be metamei tumas ochlin. So the chacham said back to Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, Misham raya. You think that's a raya? Kutim ayusham chashva la'achila. No, there were goyim that were eating nevelos that were in that location where this tarnagolas became a nevela, and after it died, they intended to use it for eating because they eat nevelos, and that's why they were metamei it, because there was a machshava for achilas adam. But had there not been a machshava for achilas adam, then it would not be tamei. So says the Gemara. What exactly is the case where Rabbi Yochanan Menuri and the Chacham are arguing? B'mayaskinan, what exactly is the situation over here that they're arguing whether nevelas of tahar requires machshava to use it for food in order to be tamei tumas ochlin? Ilim b'krachim, if we're talking about very large cities where there are all different types of people, and therefore there are different types of restaurants and the menus are varied, and almost anything that's edible is eaten in a large city by somebody, so then lama li machshava? Why do you need a machshava on the nevela to eat it, according to the Chacham Vatanan? But we have a Mishnah that when you're dealing with very large cities, nevelas behema Torah b'kol makom, or nevelas of Torah v'achelev b'krachim, that a nevelas of tar and chelev in krachim, chelev of a behema that's shechted in krachim, in large cities where there's lots and lots of people, and therefore people eat all sorts of things, ain't shrichin l'machshav lo hechsher. In order to be mekabel tuma, does not require machshava to use it for achilas adam, nor does it require hechsher l'kabalas tuma by having it come in contact with liquid. Why does it not require machshava? Because it's automatically food. In large cities, you'll always find people eat it. So there's no way that there should be a machlokas in a large city whether an nevelas of Torah requires machshava. It certainly shouldn't. It's always designated to be food. Why doesn't it require hechsher? It's a different story. It's because it is hechsher l'kabal tuma at the time of the shechita, that the dam of the shechita is machsherit, because it comes to the it's machsher all the basar at the time of the shechita. So ella b'kfarim. So what you want to say? The whole machlokas is in small villages, and in smaller villages where people's diets are not as varied, you're gonna say that it's machlokas whether you need machshava to count it for an ochel umiikal mandiyamar to lo ba'yim machshava. But in the small villages, is there anyone that would say would not require machshava? V'atnan nevelas pei matmeya b'kal makom nevelas of tohar b'kfarim tzricha machshava. It's a beferish mishnah that it requires machshava ve'in a tzricha hechsher, but it does not require coming in contact with water in order to be mekabel tuma, because these things are metame tuma chamura, and anything that's metame tuma chamura is metame tuma kala, even when the tuma chamura is not going to be noheg on it. So since everyone agrees by kfarim that nevelas of Torah requires machshava, you can't say the Brisa was talking about kfarim and that they're having a machlokas about that. So Amar Rabbi Zeira bar Chanina liolam bekrach. We're really talking about in a big city. Shouldn't everyone agree that it does not require machshava? It's automatically a food? No, the gito miasto. Yet, generally, it would be a food. Problem is, it landed into a vat of wine, and that made it a little bit disgusting. Vasato kekvar, and therefore, the gas makes that bird like it's in a kfar, that it's not going to be metame without machshava. So to over here, according to the chachamim, at least, that turns that bird into something that's not so obviously a food, and it needs machshava in order to declare it a food. And Rabbi Yochanan Menuri would say, no, it's a food because you're in a big city. I don't care that it fell into a gas. So now, analyzing this brisa a little bit further. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Menuri. Rabbi Yochanan Menuri said that we have a kal v'chomer, that we could learn that nevelas of tohar does not require machshava for achilas adam, that it's automatic, that it's metame tuma sochlin, based on the kal v'chomer. In metame tuma chamura, if it could be metame someone who eats it to the extent that even is clothing becomes tame, shalob machshava, without him having any machshavas, lo tame tuma kala shalob machshava, shouldn't it be able to be tame tumas ochlin without machshava? So amlo, the Chum said back, lo marta b'tuma chamush kein en yoredes l'kach. So they had this phrase that no, you can't bring a raya from there because tuma chamura of an avelos of tar is ena yoredes l'kach. So it says, what does that mean? My ena yoredes l'kach. So amrava hachi karmile, lo mamart, they were saying back, lo marta b'tuma chamura, she kein ena osa keyotse bar, that by tuma chamura, that's metami below machshava, you could say that's dafka because it doesn't make something else like it. It always goes down to Madrega when it transmits the Tumah to something else. A Tumah Chamura is Metame Adam V'Kelim. But the problem is, the original Tumah Chamura is Nava Tumah. The Adam V'Kelim is not able to be Metame other Adam V'Kelim. It doesn't have the capacity of the original Tumah. Tumah B'Tumah Kala Shol Sakiyotzeba, as opposed to a Tumah Kala, Tumah Sa'ochlin, can even be Metame things that are like it. An Ochel that became Tame can actually be Metame another food. Now that happens to be a din midrabanan, that an ochel that's tame is able to be tame another food. On a darais level, it's not true at all. So that's what the achronim are bothered. The achronim is bothered. How could Rava think that the chacham were docha a kal v'chomer, which is meant to derive a din da oraisa based on a chumra midrabanan? Right, we're saying, oh no, it's not a kal v'chomer because look what Tumas Ochlin could do. Tumas Ochlin could even be metame kiyotzibo. No, it can't. Not on a daraisa level, only on a drabana level. What we have to suggest is that the whole din he was trying to suggest in the first place was only a din midrabanan. So Amalei Abayis. So Abayis is back to Rava. How could you say that's what the Chum meant? That because Tumah Kala can make kiyotzibo, it can transmit its Tumah to other food, so too it's not metame, it requires machshava. That you could say the kal v'chomer, you could use that as a factor in a kal v'chomer to go in the other direction. Nevertheless, mitama shalob machshava. If tuma chamura, which even has this kula that it's not able to make something like it tame, nevertheless it's mitame shalob machshava. So tuma kala dechamira dosa kiyotziba. Tuma kala tuma sochlin, which is so chamur that it even food has the ability to make other food tame. Saying of din, shemitame shalob machshava, all the more so should have the capacity to be metame without machshava to use it as ochlin. Ella am Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says we have to give a different pshat in what they meant when they said eini yoredes l'kach. Ella am Rav Sheshes hachi kamar. What the Chum meant to respond to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is the following: Lo mamarta b'tuma chamura shekein eina tzricha hechsher. Tuma chamura has another tzad chamur that it doesn't require hechsher for tuma. Nevelas of tar is tame on a very high level to be metame the person who eats it, even if it never came in contact with one of the Zayin Mashkin. Tomer b'tuma kala, would you then say that you also don't need machshava by tuma kala, by tuma sochlin, shetzricha hechsher, where it at least requires hechsher l'kabel tuma before it can become tame? So mitzricha hechsher, says Gemara, is that true though? Does nevelas of tahar require hechsher in order to be tame as tuma sochlin? Vatnan, there's a Mishnah Maseches Taharos, shlosh dvar nemru b'nevelas of tahar, that there are three halachos that were stated about nevelas of tahar. Number one, tzricha machshava, that it's not metame food that touches it unless you had a machshava that it should be eaten by a human being. Number two, ve'ena metame ele bebeis habliya. It's a unique halacha that it's only metame a person in the begadim shalav when he's swallowing it. And number three, ve'ena tzricha hechsher. It doesn't require hechsher l'kabel tuma. So you see mefurish against what Rav Sheshes just said. Rav Sheshes just said that you know what separates nevelas of tar from its tuma chamura aspect from its tuma kala aspect, that its tuma chamura aspect doesn't require hechsher, but tuma kala always requires hechsher. Here you have beferish, the nevelas of tahar doesn't require hechsher. So says Mar, nehida hechsher sheretz lo baya, hechsher mayim baya. So says Mar, no, the word hechsher can mean two different things. There is a mesechta called meseches machshirin. That's the conventional use of the word hechsher, that in order for food to become tame, it first needs to become huchsher lekabel tuma. It needs to be able to be prepared to become tame by coming in contact with one of the Zayin mashkim. That is typically what the word hechsher means. But the word hechsher also has a secondary meaning. Hechsher Hakshar sometimes means that it needs to become Tame from something else, that its Tumah doesn't emanate Megufo, it doesn't come inherently, it has to contract its Tumah from somewhere else. That's what we're saying. Hakshar Sheretz Lobaya, Nevelas of Tahar is automatically Tame because it's a Nevela. It doesn't need to touch something like a Sheretz in order to become Tame, but it still is going to need the conventional sense of Hakshar. It's still going to need to come in contact with one of the Zayin Mashkin. So it says Gemara, Maishna Hakshar Sheretz Lobaya. Well, why is it that it doesn't require Hakshar Sheretz? Kid Tame Debe Rabbi Shmuel, it's because of the drasha that we learn from the base medrash of Rabbi Shmuel that we're about to bring in the Gemara soon. Well, Hakshar Mayim. But that same drasha should also teach us that it shouldn't even require Hakshar Mayim. Okay, so now it behooves us to know what this Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel is. So says the Gemara, the Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel taught us the following. The pasuk says, Al kol zera zerua asher yizareya. When it talks about the din of Hechsher, the Kabbal Tumah, so it says that there's water that comes on the plants, that anything that didn't have water on it is not Mekabbal Tumah, even if a Sheret subsequently touches it, or some other heavy form of Tumah subsequently touches it. If it never became wet first, then you don't have Hechsher, the Kabbal Tumah, and the item will not become Tameh. Mazra in She'ein Sofel Natami Tumah Chamura, Tzrichen Hechsher, Afkol She'ein Sofel Natami Tumah Chamura, Tzrichen Hechsher. But the example the Torah uses of that which requires Hechsher, the Kabbal Tumah, is Zra'im. So just like Zra'im, which will never become a Madrega of a severe level of Tumah, to the extent that they'll be able to be Metame Adam V'Kelim, because there is no inherent Tumah in Zra'im, and they need Hechsher, so too, anything that's Ein Sof al Tame Tumah Chamura, that will never have a higher level of Tumah, is going to require Hechsher. So Yatz Nivlas of Tar, She Sof al Tame Tumah Chamura, She Ein Sarach Hechsher, as opposed to Nivlas of Tara, that a person who eats it becomes tame from eating it, that's a very severe level of tumah, it will not require hechsher, it's tame on its own without any hechsher lekabel tumah. So how could Rav Sheshes explain the Chachamim's response to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that a tumah kala requires hechsher and that's why it requires machshava? You see that it does not require hechsher at all, not hechsher mayim and not hechsher sheretz. Ella Amar Rav Avitim Rav Papa Shum Tumah Chamura Biyolam Shum Tumah Kala Biyolam. That when the Chum say Marta B'Tumah Chamura that it's Einu Yeredes Lekach, it doesn't mean that the Tumah of Nevelas of Tar is Dafka Einu Yeredes Lekach. It means that all things that are knowing Tumah Chamura are knowing even without Hechsher Mayim. So we say Tumah B'Tumah Kala Shkein Einu Yeredes Lekach. It doesn't mean that a Tumah Kala of Nevelas of Tar, because that also doesn't require Hechsher Mayim. We just proved that. It means that in general, food that's noig tumah kala, they require hechsher mayim first. So the Chum's response to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri is that if you find this chumra by tumah chamura, which is no heges even without hechsher mayim, so that's why it makes sense that it doesn't require machshava. But by tumah kala, which in general requires hechsher mayim, should also require machshava. That was the conversation between Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and the Rabbanan. Now we're going to backtrack to the discussion that preceded all of this. What was the discussion that preceded all of this? Back on Daf Nun Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan had told us that a machshava that a person has while something is still attached to the ground, so you decide while it's still attached to the ground that you want to use it as a food, that doesn't help. That doesn't make it a food as far as Kabbalah's Tumah is concerned. The machshava has to happen after it's already detached from the ground. So on that topic, does machshava work when something is still attached to the ground? Amar Rava, Umod Rabbi Yochanan Linyan Meiser, the machshava's chibur shma machshava. As far as Meiser is concerned, when you have a machshava while something is still attached to the ground, that's enough to make it a food in that it's chayiv in Meisos. It may not be enough to make it a food to be makabel tuma, but it's enough to make it a food that's chayiv in Meisos. Amar Rava Minah Minala, where do I get such an idea? It's not, because there's a mission. The Maseches Maisos that tells us the following: Hasia ve'ezo va'koranis shebechatzer, different types of plants that are growing in your chatzer. Im hayu nishmarim, if you are protecting them in order to be eaten, you want to use them as food. So chayavin, then they're chayavin Maisos. Say chidami, what exactly is the case? Ilim dezarina mitchilu la'adam, if you initially planted them for the sake of human consumption, tzricha lememar, you need to tell me that they're chayavin Maisos. Of course they're chayavin Maisos. It's food. Elulav dezarina mitchilu lebehema. Now, initially, you planted them to use as animal fodder. V'katanim hayu nishmarin chayavin. But then we say, oh, but if afterwards you change your mind and now you start you start watering it and thinking about it as something that you want to grow for human consumption, so good, now it's going to be chayiv in maiso. So you see that your machshava to do that works even while it's still mechubar lekarka. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi said that's not a raya at all. This Mishnah is talking about a chatzar where these tzmachim grew on their own. That's what it's talking about. The stamala adam kaimi. And minastam, we assume, it's meant for human consumption. And the Mishnah says, im hayu nishmarim, it means, im achatzar mishameres perosea chayavin. If vimlav peturin, that if that which grows in the chatzar is nishmar in the chatzar for the sake of the bailim of the chatzar, simply that it's not hefker, that like things that grow on their own in general are hefker, then it's going to be chayv and maisos. But if it's hefker, then it's potter for maisos. So it's not about whether it's an ochel or not. It's a totally different din that the Mishnah is dealing with. It's dealing with whether it's hefker or not, because that which is hefker is potter for maisos. But of course it's an ochel. It's stam meant to be an ochel. So Rav Ashi asks from our Mishnah on Rava that machshava works b'mechubar as far as maisos is concerned, even though it doesn't work as far as tumas concerned. Masav Rav Ashi. So he asks in Rava as follows. Our Mishnah said, "Kol shechayav ma'isros mitamin tumas ochlin." Anything that's chayav ma'isros is also mekabel tuma for tumas ochlin. Because to be chayv and maestros, it has to be a food. So if it's chayv and maestros, then you know that it's a food. So for tumas ochlin, it's also a food. But v'emisa, but if you're right, that as far as maeser, a machshava could work to make it a food, even while it's still mechubar lekarka. But as far as tumas concerned, having a machshava that you want to use it for a food while it's mechubar lekarka does not work, well then I'll give you an example of something that's chayv and maestros and is not tamit tumas ochlin. Ha'ikahani, what about these endo or whatever you plant for the tzorach behema, and while it's still attached to the ground, you have in mind that you want to use it for a human food. The chayav meiser, that would be enough to be mechayav meiser because your machshava b'mechubar works for meiser. But it's not enough to be metamit tumasochlin. That's against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said there's no such thing. So it says Amar Rav Hachikamar. No, we're not saying that every example you can come up with when something is chayv and maaser is automatically metami tamasochlin. We're saying any type of food that in general is subject to maaser, that type of food is also subject to masochlin. So whatever you're growing in the field, when you have a machshava while it's still mechubar to use it for food, you're right. It's only going to be chayv and maaser. It's not yet going to be metami tamasochlin. But that type of food, if after you detach from the ground, you decide to use it as food, it's now metame tumas ochlin. That min is metame tumas ochlin. So that's all it means to say. In Hachinami Misavran, I'll bring you a raya that in all of our Mishnayos, when we talk about whatever's included in this is included in that, it's all talking about the min. It's not talking about all the specific cases necessarily. Midiktani seifa. We're going to see the next Mishnah. Kol shechayev b'resh sagez. Any animal that you have a mitzvah of resh sagez, of giving its shearings to a kohen, is chayev b'matanos. You have to give the Zerah L'chayim and Keva to a Kohen as well. But there are animals that are Chayv and Matanos, but not in Resh Sagez, like a Shor or an Eiz, where they're Chayv and Matanos, because it says Im Shor Im Se, but Resh Sagez are not Chayv, Resh Sagez is only Bekvasim, so V'yemisa. But if you're going to say that the Mishnah is talking about every detail, every possible case, Ha'ika Trefa, the Chayv is Resh Sagez, Ve'in Chayv is Matanos. A Trefa is Chayv and Resh Sagez, and it's not Chayv and Matanos. That ruins the whole rule of the Mishnah. So it must be that, no, a trefa is a specific case. We're talking about a min, a sheep, a goat, an ox, right? So the rule holds true for any specific min. So Amar Ravina, Hamani, Rabbi Shimon, he did not. Rabbi Shimon Potter is a trefa, Mesh the case. Or maybe it could be saying every single case, and that raya is not a raya, because trefa maybe really is Pater from Resh Sagez, if you assume like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. So if you assume that a trefa is chayv in Resh Sagez and pater from Matanos, so then you have this raya that we must be talking about the min. But if you assume like Rabbi Shimon, you have no raya. So we have to bring another raya that we're talking about the min, that all of these Mishnayos are about the min in general. So I'm Rav Simon Barashi Toshma, I'll bring you another raya from the Brisa that the Mishnah must be talking about the minim and not the specific cases. Hamafkir is karmo v'hishkim babok v'tzaro. If a person is mafkir his vineyard, and then the next day he wakes up very early in the morning, so at night he's mafkir the vineyard, everyone's sleeping, he goes to sleep, then he wakes up very early in the morning, and he goes out and he starts harvesting the grapes from his vineyard. Chayiv beperet, uba'ullos, b'shicha, b'peya. He's still chayiv in all of the matnos aniyim that you're chayiv in from your kerem, but upatim in a meiser. He's pat from taking meisros from the kerem, because when someone is zochem in a hefker, hefker is pata from meisros. Matnos aniyim are also pata from meisros. Hefker is also pata from matnos aniyim, meaning when you get something from hefker, there's no matnos aniyim. So the peret, the olos, shicha, the pei, you're chayiv in, even though generally speaking, the hefker is pata from Matnas Aniyim as well, but we learn it from an extra riboy in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Tazov Osam, to tell me that even Hefker, when you're Chozer V'Zochabo, this kind of Hefker, when a kind of Hefker where it was a trick, and you did it the previous night, and it was yours, and then you went and you were Zochabo the next morning, that kind of Hefker is still Chayiv in the Matnas Aniyim. But Va'anon Tanan, Kol Shchayiv Bepeya, Chayiv B'Maisos. But don't we have a rule that anything that's Chayiv Bepeya is automatically Chayiv in Maisos? And over here we just said, in this funny case of Hefker, it's chayiv bepeya, but it's pater min a meiser. You don't have a chayiv in meisros. Elav shema mina min katani. Shema mina. Grapes are chayiv in peya and chayiv in meisros. It happens to be you can come up with this funny case where the guy was mafkir his kerem and I. Okay, so you have a funny case where it's chayiv in peya and pater min a meiser. But the min is the rule is true of the min, and that's all we're trying to prove. So now the Gemara brings Mishnah and Peya on a totally different topic. So Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah Maseches Peya that talks about the following. There's a machlokas between the Chum and Rabbi Kiva. And let's say you have something, you have produce that doesn't grow uniformly. So you harvest some of it today, and so wherever it's ready, patches in the field that you harvest, and now there are a whole bunch of different spots in the field that still have grain growing, that still have this produce growing. So you can come out a month from now, and you're going to harvest those different spots. So are you chayiv and peya in each spot? Because they're all separated from each other, since you already harvested most of the field. Or do you say, no, it's one field, and therefore it's one chayiv peya? So that is a machlokas tanaim that we have in Maseches Peya. The Chum hold that from that when you started harvesting the field, it's one big field, and therefore it's one peya. Whereas Rabbi Akiva disagrees. So says Gemara, Modim Chum Rabbi Akiva b'zareya sheves. The Chum agree to Rabbi Akiva when you plant something called sheves, a certain type of vegetable that is used only for seasoning. I think it's dill. So if a person plants dill in a field, so ochardel or mustard seeds b'shnayim u'shloshim mekomos in two or three different places. That you do have to give peah separately from each and every spot where it's growing, because it wouldn't be normal to plant an entire field of dill or of mustard seeds, because it's not a food, it's something that's only used as a tavlin, it's only used to spice things up, so therefore it doesn't you don't need the shear of such a big hefsek between them. Even a hefsek ma'at is enough to divide them as into separate units, into separate fields. So what the Gemara brought this Mishnah to tell us that Sheves is Chayiv in Peya. Now we're going to use that to ask on our Mishnah. So says Gemara, Vahasheves Mechayiv in Peya. Here, Sheves, dill, is something that from this mission we see it's chayiv in peya, and memela, it's got to be chayiv in meiser as well. Why is it got to be chayiv in meiser? Because that was our Mishnah, the Tanan, culture chayiv in peya, chayiv in meiser. Our Mishnah said the rule is that whenever something is chayiv in peya, it's chayiv in meiser. Next step is, if it's chayiv in meiser, mitami to masochlin, then it has to be able to be subject to masochlin, because that's the klal the Mishnah gave, that anything that's chayiv in meiser is mitame to masochlin. So Alma called immediately Dava the Taima Vitami to Masochlin. So apparently, if A equals B and B equals C, so anything that's Dava the Taima, anything that's just a spice that's just meant as a tavlin, is apparently enough of a food to be Tami to Masochlin. Dahi Sheves, the Taima Avida. Because after all, that's all dill is used for. No one sits there munching on dill. It's meant only to give flavor into, meaning it's dill works just as well when you put it in one of those bags and drop it in the soup. You don't need to eat the dill. The point is that it's only meant to give give flavor to other things, and yet apparently it's still considered a food as far as Tumas Ochlin is concerned. Okay, nothing wrong with that, except Uramini. It's against the Mishnah in Maseches Uktzin, because the Mishnah tells us that Hakosht v'Hachimum v'Rashay B'Samim v'Hatia v'Achiltis v'Apilpulim v'Chalas Haria. All of these things are things that are not eaten on their own. They're all different spices. So the Gemara is just the Mishnah in Uktzin is just taking us through the spice aisle in the grocery store, saying and that. That's just my way of saying I can't translate all these things. Nikachin bekesef meiser. All of these things can be purchased with meiser sheni money. That even though you're only allowed to use meiser sheni money on food, but these things are a tavlin and they have a din of food. But they ain't mitamim to masochlin. They're not subject to masochlin. Div Rabbi Akiva. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Nuri nikachin bekesef meiser. Neimai ain't mitamim to masochlin. So Rabbi Yochanan Nuri challenges Rabbi Akiva. Are they a food or are they not? If you could use meiser sheni money to buy them, they should be mitamim to masochlin. If they're not mitamim, avim lo yikchu bekesef meiser. Then you shouldn't be able to use meiser sheni money on them. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Nuri nimnu v'gamru. We took a vote and we decided that she'ein nikachin bekesef meiser ve'ein mitamim to masochlin. It's not a food, not as far as meiser sheni is concerned, not as far as to masochlin is concerned. But the bottom line is, now we have a problem because we said that dill is chayv and peya, and if it's chayv and peya, it's chayv and meiser, and if it's chayv and meiser, it's subject to masochlin. So dill is subject to masochlin, and yet we just went down the list of spices, and we said that none of the spices are metame to masochlin. So that's a challenge. So says the Gemara, Amrav Chista, ki tanya hi b'sheves hasuya lekemech. No, that there's a bekamach. That you can't prove from the Mishnah in Uktzin that whatever is made as a spice and is not eaten on its own is not metame, because it could be that it is metame, like we proved from the Mishnah in Peah and from our Mishnah. When we say that Sheves is metame to masochlin, it's talking about a type of dill that you want to use for a dip, for kutach, that you'd crush it up and you put it into this kutach dip, and then you would dip foods into it. So in that way, it's not being used for nesinas tam, you're actually using it as a food. It's a dip, it's part of your ketchup or whatever, and therefore when it's made for that purpose, when it's omade for that purpose, it's metame to masochlin. So dill is not like all the rest of the spices. The rest of the spices that are purely avida l'taima, that in a chinami is not going to be metame to masochlin. But dill is going to be metame to masochlin when dill is meant to be used as part of kutach. Amar Rav Ashi, amrisa l'shmeita kamed Rav Kana. I explained this in front of Rav Kana, that lo tema, don't say that, yeah, the Mishnah from where we learn that Sheves metame to masochlin, b'sheves hasuya lekamech, that it's dafka Sheves that you designated for the purpose of using it as part of your your kutach, hastama lekedera, but stam dill is meant just to be used to flavor a soup. El stam Sheves lekamech hasuya, even stam dill we assume is meant to be used for eating as part of a kutach. How do I know that? That stam Sheves is only made for food. It's not Hasheves Mishnas Natam Bekadera Eimba Mishum Truma. Once dill has already lost all of its flavoring, meaning it's already given tam into the kadera, and now it's bland. Now it lost all of its flavoring. It now no longer has the status of truma. So if now, after it's already been cooked in your soup, that dill were to fall into another pot, it's not, even if that dill is truma, it's not going to ask for the pot, because it's not mekabel the tam. The second pot doesn't get any tam from the dill. Ve'ena metame to masochlin, and it's not metame to masochlin because it's no longer considered a food once it lost all of its flavoring. But what do you see from there? Ha'adjel anos natam b'kadeira, but while it still has flavor, yesh b'mishum truma, u'metame to masochlin, it has a full status of truma and to masochlin. V'yisal kadai tach stam l'kadeira, but if you can assume that it's stam only meant for flavoring and not for a food, kilo anos nanami stam l'kadeira, that even before the tam is gone from it, it's stamel kadera and should not be considered a food, should not be subject to masochlin. Elav shmamina, stamel kemach hasuya shmamina. So we see that regular dill, we assume, is meant to be used as part of a dip, and therefore it is a food, and therefore it's subject to Tumas Ochlin. But other spices that are only meant to give flavor are not subject to Tumas Ochlin. Okay, that's the as far as we go with Tumen and Tara. Now we continue taking Torah through Shas with all the Mishnayos, that sometimes you can't have A without B, but you can have B without A. So it says the Mishnah, Kol Shechayav Bereish Sageis, any animal that when you shear its hair, when you shear its wool, it's Chayav and Reish Sageis, you got to give the first shearings to the Kohen. Chayav Matanos, that same animal, if you shecht it, you got to give the Zroel Chayim and Keva to a Kohen. But certain things are chayv matanos, not reish sagez, because by matanos it says im shorim se, reish sagez is only by kvasim. Another rule, kol sheyesh lo bir, yesh lo shvius. V'yesh, yesh lo shvius, ve'in lo bir. So this is talking about the halachas of Shemitah, that anything that's roy l'maychel adam or l'maychel behema, or is even roy to use as a dye, we have to treat with kedusha shvius. What does it mean to treat with kedusha shvius? You're not allowed to hoard it all for yourself. You have to be mafker it for anyone to come take it from your field. You're not allowed to do business with it. You know, it's an isra of schora, and you're not allowed to use it l'tzara kufua. You're not allowed to make it, some type of medicine that will help you vomit or something like that, or you're not allowed to use it for anything that's gonna be mafsidit or be ma'abidit. You're not allowed to destroy that which has kedusha shvius. That's why if you have a bottle of wine that says that it's shemitah wine or it's a beis din or whatever that says that it's shemitah wine, so the first question you have to ask yourself is how in the world did it get sold in a store, because it's an issue of schara. Okay, so there's a whole lundus in that to get around that issue, but then you have to realize that you're not allowed to be mafsid it, that you're not allowed to use it for something that will be destroyed, like to put out your Avdala candle with it or something like that would be a problem. So there's another halacha when it comes to Peru Shavias, that when it's Kalim and Asada, when it's no longer available out in the field, so you have to be Mevarit Min Abayis. Whatever of it you have in your house, you have a Chiyuv of Biur. So that's what we're saying. Anything that you have a Chiyuv of Biur, any type of Gidulei Karka during Shemitah that would have a Chiyuv Biur has all of the other Dinim of Shavias as well. But sometimes you have things that have the other dinam of shvius, but there's no din of being mevarit min abayis. So that would be those items that are never kalim and asada. There are certain items that are always available in the field, that smachim that are always growing. And so since it's never kalim and asada, it won't have a chiv biur, but it will still have kedusha shvius if it grew during the shmita year. So says the Gemara, what are minim that are knowing kedusha shvius and are chayiv in biur? Kigon ale haluf shota v'hadandana. The leaves of something called a wild luf and dandana, mint leaves. So even though they have so they certainly are known in kedusha shvius, and you have a chiyuv biur like all other gidulei karka that are kala l'chayim in asada. But we dafka pick these examples to tell us that yeah, only the leaves of these plants are subject to that. But yesh lo shvius ve'en lo biur. But you want to know an example of something that has kedusha shvius but doesn't have mitzvahs biur? Ikar halof shota, the ikar dandana. Meaning, as far as the first part that we said, the ali halof shota and the ali dandana, everything is in that category. Everything has kedusha shvius and has a chiyuv biur, but we're only using it to contrast to the roots of these plants, because the roots of these plants do not have a chiyuv biur. Tichsuv l'ham tchol l'chaya shabar tzecha tia kol tvoas alechol. Kol zman shechayo chelos min asada atamach l'ham tchol babayis, that so long as it's still available to the wild animals in the field, you can keep it in your house to feed to your behemoths. But kol l'chaya min asada kol l'ham tchol shabayis, once it's no longer available to the chayos, so then you can't make it available to your animals in your house either. Vani lo kalilu, but these roots are always available out in the field, and therefore you never have a chiyuv biur in your house. Next mishnah, kol sheyesh lo kaskeses, yesh lo snapir. Any fish that has scales, has fins. V'yesh yesh lo snapir, vein lo kaskeses, but some fish have fins and not scales. That's why if you want to know if a fish is kosher, you only have to look for one thing. You only have to look for scales. If you find scales, then you know it's absolutely kosher and you're allowed to eat it. That was always the minhag, that people would go to a fish market, so people would bring their own knives so that when they would fillet it for you, they wouldn't be using a non-kosher knife, and you would just look in the display case for a fish that has scales, and if you identify that it has scales, you could then ask them to fillet the fish for you. Know that it's absolutely a kosher fish. Kol sheyesh lo karnayim, any behema that or a chaya that has horns, yesh lo tlafayim. We know that it has split hooves, and if it has split hooves, it's kosher to eat unless it's a pig. A pig is the only one that has split hooves. Not yesh lo tlafayim, vein lo karnayim. But some have tlafayim, but do not have kranayim, like a chazir. So it's not Torah Lachila because it's not malagera. That's the second siman. It's not kranayim, it's malagera. But it's just helpful to know that that if you want to know if something has split hooves, you can just look for horns. So if you look for horns, that's a siman that it has split hooves, and it's also a siman that it chews its cud, because a pig is the only one that has split hooves and doesn't chew its cud. So and a pig doesn't have horns. So that's why all you would have to look for is the horns. Says the Gemara, Kol sheyesh lo kaskeses is a dog tahar. So yesh sheyesh lo samper vein lo kaskeses is a dog tame, if it has fins but not scales. So michti anan a kaskeses amchinan. We rely 100% on scales. So samper tekas rachman alamli. Why does the Torah have to make a second simon of fins? The fins don't do anything. So says Mari lo kas rachman snapir hava amina my kaskeses tichsiv snapir. I would have thought the word kaskeses means snapir had the Torah not had a separate word for it. And I would think that even the dog tummy is kosher, because Rachman is snapir v'kaskeses. That's why it has to say both. V'hashta to cause Rachman is snapir v'kaskeses. We know that the kaskeses levushahu. How do I know that kaskeses means the scales? D'chsiv v'sirim kaskasim hu lavush. Based on the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, in context, we see that it means like an outer layer. V'licht of Rachman kaskeses v'lo bayi snapir. So let the Torah only say kaskeses, and you don't need a simon of the snapir. So even though we know what the word kaskeses means, and it could have just said the word kaskeses, lahagdil Torah lahadir, the Torah says snapir as well. So there's a lot of discussion on that, what that means, lahagdil Torah lahadir. It seems totally unnecessary, but maybe that's from tomorrow. We can start with that, or we'll start with the next Mishnah.